Good morning, and I would also like to just greet everyone this day in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The one who said there in Isaiah that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are greater than our ways, and yet he wants to identify with us, he wants to be there for us, and he wants to have his word have his way within our lives. And if we allow that, then we can be sure, as even as Aaron pointed out in the last part there, that not only does he give it to us, but he makes that it would be prosperous. And so what a blessing we have, you know, what a blessing we have to live where we are today, and to have the freedom of God's word, and to have a understanding of it, and to allow it to produce what he wants for his kingdom within our lives. And so this message today is talking a little on inheritance, and based on a little bit on the Easter story, on the resurrection, I guess, of Jesus Christ. There's probably not many here that have received an inheritance of any kind yet. Well, yes, I mean, just physical inheritance. And why have you not received an inheritance yet? Your parents are still living. So to receive an inheritance, someone must die. There's someone must have passed away. In you could say in your direct line, as your parents, as your father, as your mother, or grandparents. I mean, and so that's what, in relation to the Easter story, the resurrection, the death, the life, and the death of Jesus Christ. Without his death, and without his resurrection, we would be given no inheritance. So what inheritance? I can say that I have received an inheritance. My parents have both passed. Rose has received an inheritance. Her parents have both passed. I did receive a gift from one of my grandfathers. You could say, so it's like received an inheritance in the physical sense. And yet, without someone passing, without someone dying, there would be no inheritance. So, it's what all does the scripture speak about? What all are you given? What all has been offered to you as an inheritance because Christ lived, died, and arose? And so, may the verse that we had today there on thinking about that the word of God doesn't go out void or doesn't return to him void, but that it makes a difference. May this inheritance that you receive or that you accept. Now the other aspect of receiving an inheritance or receiving a gift, first as inheritance someone must die, and then something is given to you, but it can only be given to you then also if you accept it. If you do not accept the gift, if you do not take that inheritance, if you throw it away and say, no, I don't want it, I'm not keeping this, what good does it do you? So what all has Christ giving us as our inheritance that he offers to us? And it's, you know, I'm just going to read a few verses. There, it could not be exhausted in going through Scripture and pointing out you receive this as an inheritance. And, you know, a couple of the strong verses, I should say, or powerful verses in the Word of God that he gives to us. Is the fact that when Christ died and then he arose again, we are all people, Christian people, that have accepted Christ, are born again, repented, accepted Christ. I can't go through all that. I think we understand that. We become joint heirs, it says. You are joint. You are joined together. You are joint heirs with Christ. And you are made partakers of everything that joining together represents. So I guess that would be my heart's desire, I guess, or encouragement to that. We recognize the connection, the jointness that we can have with Christ and what all that represents. The greatest victory that ever took place in the universe was when Christ won the victory over death, arose from the grave, and is set down at the right hand of the throne, and he is there interceding for us night and day. So in Romans 8, verse 15 to 17, reads like this. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." I don't think I can identify that for you. You need to identify that for yourselves. We have that within us. Is his spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child? You know, or you know you are, or you know you're not, you could say. That we are the children of God. And then if we're children, we are children of his, then we're heirs. I could not receive Jacob's heir's inheritance if I was not his son. Then heirs of God, and then we are joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, which, you know, life is not a breeze, you could say, or a roller coaster, or a smooth ride. But to think about that, if we suffer with him, then we also will be glorified with him, because Christ gave his life for us. In Galatians 3:29, he tells us, "If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that was given to Abraham." There's two aspects of this inheritance. One is that we look at and see is our spiritual inheritance that comes from the Word of God. This is important to us. We need to get a grasp and understand that who we are in Christ, our position that we have in God. So if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, which lays Let's stand to read this. Ephesians chapter 1. So in verse 16, Paul is saying here, he sees not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he goes on in verse 17 through the end here. He tells us that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he tells us why in 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Like he wrought, he worked this out. He delivered it. He made it happen in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." You may be seated. We see in these verses here that he wants our eyes of understanding to be enlightened, that we know what the hope of his calling is, we know the riches of his glory, and that we have an inheritance with the saints. And the exceeding greatness of his power, like we just to reflect back a little bit, you know, that when his word is put forth, that it produces abundance to usward who believe, according to the working of that mighty power. And this was all, you could say Satan had no clue when he worked in the hearts of men to cry out to crucify him and put him to death and laid him in the grave and thought they'd won the battle, you know. But when that third day morning came and that stone was rolled away and he came out of that, all that God had promised and wanted for his people, for his mankind, since he created them from the beginning, he made possible through that resurrection. And he gives us that as an inheritance. And he's telling us here in Ephesians that he desires that our eyes of understanding be enlightened and that we can see and know. So that's our eternal that's an eternal perspective. It's an eternal scope that we can see. And the second aspect of inheritance is what inheritance, how does it affect you and the here and now, today? Let's turn to Titus, a single chapter. Paul wrote this to Titus. After the book of Timothy. In Titus chapter 3, Paul was instructing Titus here in our eternal inheritance that we have. I'm going to read from 1 through 8, I think, here. Paul's telling him, he says, "Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to get, to be ready to every good work." He tells him to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, shewing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. That's the old man that he's describing there. And he's telling Titus, this was you at one time. This was me at one time. But he says, after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. How great was that love, you know, that he had for all mankind. And he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us. Was it just a little bit? Was it just a small portion? Abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the faithful saying, and these things, I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful, who maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we see there in verse 8, even backing up, that he told Titus to confirm constantly, not to the believer, not to the unbeliever, but to the believer, to acknowledge us, that we would maintain good works and that we would be profitable unto men. And that's what God's word can do for us today. That's what a vision or a eternal perspective of eternal life, knowing that you are an heir to eternal life. And he shed this stuff on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Can we get a glimpse of what that inheritance is, what it consists of, and how that it can help us endure things that come our way in life? And I have more verses reflecting to that. It helps us to endure. You know, how did Jesus Christ, if he would have not had, of course he was God, you know, come in the flesh, but if he would have not saw and understood his Father's will for him and was able to say, not my will, but thine be done, if he did not have the eternal perspective that he was going to be sitting at the right hand of the throne someday, interceding for all people, for all mankind. So he was able to endure that. He was able to endure all the pain, all the suffering that came, all the mockery, all the cruelty, you could say, his own people turning against him because he saw the greater glory. He saw what was waiting for him. He knew what was waiting for him. He only did and spoke the things that his Father told him and shared with him. So we have more verses that relate to that. You can turn to them if you want. I'm going to read several of them, but we're going to go to Revelations chapter 21 then, and again get a picture of this eternal glory. So 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction," he calls it light, "which is but for a moment," what does it do? It says it's working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So Revelations 21. Here's John giving us a glimpse of this eternal glory. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Where is the kingdom of God? The Bible says also, where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. The tabernacle of God, says, is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away
all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. So he did it. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. We heard this morning, how do we come? If we're thirsty, we must first be athirst. Oh, if we want to come to that water. He that overcometh shall inherit. Here's the inheritance. All things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So if we think about these verses, you could say as an internal perspective, as an internal inheritance, these are things that we inherit, that we are going to inherit, that we have, or we maybe already inherited many of these things of pain and suffering and death and crying and tears and knowing that they're passed away and that all things, you know, become new. And it may be in the physical sense, it may be in the spiritual sense, but this praise be to God, I guess, that we have these words in his book of life that can give us, again, strength and courage and abundance within our lives. Psalms 31, verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, "But it is written," we know this too, like we had shared this morning, but we know this says that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Even when we see and we read further in Revelations, the beauty and the gold and everything that's there in heaven and the singing and all that takes place, we can put a picture of that, we can envision that somewhat, maybe get a picture in our hearts or within our minds. And yet this verse tells us that we have no clue. No eye, no ear, neither has it entered into your heart or my heart, the thing that God has prepared for them. The inheritance that he wants to give you. The inheritance that's available for each and every one of us, because it's paid for. It's done. You know, we can read all the things, but we still don't know all the details of the things that await for us. We still don't even grasp, you could say, what all that inheritance is going to be. But one thing we do know, it will be good. It will be great. We will be singing as those 12 elders are, praise to God around his throne, I think, night and day. And then he tells us, like in John 14, 1-4, he tells us, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also." That's an inheritance. He's giving us that. So, being a joint heir with Christ, as we read to start out with, means that we can participate. We can receive those blessings here and now, today. We can receive lots of the things that he has prepared and has given to us. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. To the first part of the chapter, let's start on we'll start in verse 6, I guess. Backed up a little farther than what I had down here, but it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us all." Again, the abundance that is here, sometimes I think we just miss the volume or the like it says, abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And verse 11 then talks about inheritance again. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then I think I read let's just read 14 yet, which is the earnest. That Holy Spirit of promise is the earnest. It's the seal of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Those words they're kind of, what a blessing, and yet, do we fully grasp, can we fully understand what he's telling us there, what he's given to us? But if we have trusted in the word that we have heard, the truth of the gospel, of salvation, if we believe that, we are sealed with his Holy Spirit of promise, which is the down payment, earnestness. If you put earnest money down, you prepay for something that you're going to receive. And Jesus did that for us. He gave us that earnestness, which is the beginning, you could say, of our inheritance, and gave us redemption. Psalms 36, verse 8. Reads like this, and may this be our request, that they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from your river, from the river of your pleasures. These things are included. I'm not reading the whole verse. There's a bunch of them here, but things that we can draw from, the things that we can experience in life today that is part of our inheritance because of what Christ has done for us. He tells us in 2 Peter 1:3, he said that he gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Those things he gives to us. He tells us that we can be part, in 2 Peter 1:4, we can be partakers of the divine nature of Christ. We are given the power and the anointing of his Holy Spirit. In Acts it tells us, we have the forgiveness of sin and be free from guilt. Matthew 8:17, he provides for us divine healing and health. That divine if you understand the word divine, I guess. He tells us that he'll meet all our needs in Matthew. None of us will ever be, his people will never go hungry. He gives us prosperity in all things, including your souls. We have love. We have joy. We have peace. We have righteousness in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. Romans 8:11 tells us that we have victory and freedom from the bondages of sin. Romans 8:37 tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us, and that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Ephesians 1:9, which I read, it says that he has made known to us the mystery of his will. He shares with us as we seek him and understand him. To understand God's will in our lives. The Beatitudes in Matthew 5, you know, he tells us all the things there could read several of them, I guess, here. Where it says blessed, all the blessed things that we have. Blessed means happy or joyful. Also, he just tells us that blessed are the poor in spirit. What's the end results? You have the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. They will find comfort. These are inherent things that God has given us. through his son, Jesus Christ. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. The end result is you will be filled. Blessed are the merciful. You will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those are all inherited things for God's children. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name, for my sake. And he tells us to be that we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward or inheritance in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He goes on, says, you are the salt of the earth. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we are co-laborers with God. And Ephesians 2, verse 6 tells us that and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All these are given unto you freely. Freely you have received. God offers these things free because it's part of your inheritance. You didn't pay anything for it, you could say. You didn't have to, you know. And so freely you have received, the word tells us, so freely we should give and we should share. Even all those blessed things that we have there was given to us freely. Isaiah 12, verse 3 says, therefore we should with joy draw water from the wells of salvation. Claim it. It's yours. Believe it. It's yours. Trust God in all things because it's yours. He's given to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to every person that is a child of God, this inheritance. It's not just subject to your family lineage. You know, I'm not going to inherit your father's stuff. But as God our Father, as Jesus Christ our Father, then every person will get the exact same equal inheritance in the kingdom of God. These are all given to us to help us fulfill God's promise to us, the direction that he will have each and every one of us walk, the destiny that he has for our lives. Let's meditate on it. Let's think about it. Let it be established firmly within our hearts, believing that it actually belongs to you. And if we look at an example of that, you know, Abraham as a father of faith, you could say, or as whatever, what does it say Abraham did? It says he wavered not at the promises that God gave, that told him. Romans 4:20 and 21 speak of Abraham. It says he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. It says he staggered not when God promised him a son and he was over 100 years old, you know. We're told in Proverbs that a faithful man or woman, you could say, will abound with it with blessings. If we are faithful to cultivate within our hearts, to cultivate faithfulness, to cultivate obedience, to cultivate our faith, we will abound in the inheritance that God has for us. Because as Abraham, he went out. You know, in Hebrews 11, verse 8 tells us, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going, not knowing what was in front of him, but he did it. He went out. He was willing. Isaiah 1:19 tells us, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the good of the land. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing within his sight. We live in this, our spiritual inheritance is a land of milk and honey, you could say. It's a land of promise, but it's only obtained by, like the faith of Abraham and the obedience, and we continually grow from faith our faith continues to grow, and we're given grace upon grace, and we're given strength upon strength, and
you know, one of the things I think that we see in the biblical characters like of Abraham is like that, or Joshua or Moses or whoever you want to name. You can even name, you could say that, Rahab and all those. But the courage that it takes to walk in that, the strength and courage that it takes. You know, sometimes it seems like God set these things before us, whatever it may be in our life, and presents us with a challenging circumstances. I'm just going to read this paragraph, that in the natural would seem somewhat difficult or very uncomfortable to us. It's during times like this that we must approach whatever it is, with courage and strength in God. If we are to gain the inheritance that God has ordained us to walk in, Joshua experienced this as he faced the momentous task of leading the children of Israel into the promised land after they'd wandered about for 40 years in a wilderness. Cross over. Go through that. Go across the Jordan. Lead these people. You know, the same thing when they'd sent them spies out. And they came back, and all but two of them, was negative. What kind of courage would it take to stand up and face that scenario? And Joshua 1 verse 6 tells us to be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. There are many times in life, only after exercising, you could say, courage or strength, or exercising our faith and courage to deal with something, that the peace of God or the joy of God will come to us. I don't know if you've ever been faced with that or not, but I have before already. Like, it's simply just you procrastinate, you think there's something negative coming against you, and you really don't want to talk with this guy, you don't want to make the phone call, and yet you know that you need to. You know that you need to rise up. You know it's going to take courage to do it, even though you're fearful, and the blessing of the outcome of that when you do. Just do it. Face to face, or make the call, whatever it may be. It's like, just like the foundation that we had recently issue about. I was thinking like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to walk away from it. I mean, I'm just telling you my thoughts. Forget it. I got way more work to worry about this type of scenario. I don't want to face these people. And yet I knew that the only way that we're going to get, that I get release and I get peace and I get something back out of this is like, do it. Do what you need to do. Just do it. And don't think anything of it. Face it. So courage. So, and that's what Christ did, the ultimate for us. He gave his life for me and for you. Whatever we give, whatever we give our lives to, whether it's whatever our pursuits are, whatever, if it's a carnal pursuit or a spiritual thing, we end up reap what we sow. The Bible is also true on that. It doesn't. Therefore, if we give our lives for the kingdom, we have an inheritance that comes with that, and we will reap the blessings that come with that. Matthew 13:44 says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he came and he bought that field. So whatever we do, let's do it heartily. Let's do it with all our strength, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. As he tells us, Colossians 3:23-24 says to do that. Whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. I don't have much of anything more. I just want to just kind of conclude with this. Remember, we have an inheritance. It belongs to you. It's part of your a journey. use that inheritance to the glory of God. Draw from those wells of salvation, and you can be filled with abundance of God's blessings because he's offered it and given it to you. I'm open for sharing your testimony.